Well, I too wish to greet each one of you, bring you greetings of love, and greet you in Jesus' name, the Lord of the church, the one in whose name we're gathered. And I also will just recognize the warmth of this morning, as Brother Ernest already did, and I trust that you'll be able to stay awake, and I'll try to keep my thoughts shorter so that we can stay together in this message this morning. Welcome to you visitors as well. Good to have you here. God bless you for coming. And I trust you can feel at home with us. As I thought about the Sunday school lesson, which I enjoyed very much, you know, finally Elisha's servant got to see by the eye of faith what the Syrians had already heard. That was an interesting thought to me, that that's what it was. They had already heard something, the sound of great company, and they took off. I was challenged by the thoughts of that, of this Sunday school lesson, and I believe they fit into the message of this morning. I was given this assignment a couple weeks ago, and for an all-day meeting, and I plan to share this message with you this morning. And that message title is this: Today's Essentials for Tomorrow's Church. Today's Essentials for Tomorrow's Church. And when I first saw that assignment, I didn't know what to think about it. And as I spent some time thinking about it and praying about it, I was blessed as I studied it, and I would desire to share that blessing with you all this morning and the challenge that I received from this subject. So the focus of this message, we'll be focusing this morning on essentials for today. We want to look at the foundation. We want to look at essentials for today. And as the title is suggesting, as we do so, the church of tomorrow will be affected. Today's essentials for tomorrow's church. Now, as I thought about this question, as I thought about this title, there was a number of questions that came up in my mind. I want to ask them to you all for you to think about. First one, can we shape the church of tomorrow by what we do today? Question, can we shape the church of tomorrow by what we do today? The church of tomorrow. Young people, I believe the answer to that is yes. I believe that is the right answer. And this is a sobering reality, brothers and sisters. We can shape the church of tomorrow by what we do today. How? With what methods should we endeavor to build the church of tomorrow today? That was a question that troubled me. How? With what methods should we endeavor to build the church of tomorrow today? And so as we go through this message, I hope we can answer these questions. This message, I want to just say, first of all, there is some conceptual kind of thoughts to this message, but it also is a very practical message. So if you feel like we're sort of wandering in the first part, looking at abstract thoughts, please bear with me because we'd like to bring that home to us today. I believe today we are most certainly obligated. We have a responsibility to think of the future. We see that in the Bible. We see that in Christ's life. We see that in the high priestly prayer there in John 17, where he beseeched the Father and he was concerned not just about those that were with him that day, but those that would come many years later in the future. And he said, he just pled with the Father. He said, I'm not asking you to take them out of this world, but keep them from the evil that's in this world. And those kind of prayer, those kind of thoughts is what he prayed about. We see that in the warnings and instructions that we see from the apostles, those who wrote many of our epistles that we treasure today as instructions to the church, as they instructed the church to stand fast today and warn them of what they would face in the future. We're thinking about this obligation. But even beyond this morning, even beyond this obligation, even beyond this responsibility of thinking about the future and the church of tomorrow, there rises another passion in the hearts of the believers. And that is the desire to see the kingdom of God growing and expanding in a world where it is being violently opposed. See, it's more than just a responsibility or an obligation, but there is something that rises up in the hearts of believers that is saying, we want to see the kingdom of God grow and expand. We desire that. So that makes such a difference between the State Farm worker who has an obligation and a responsibility to harrow the potatoes today, or the man who has a desire to see him be able to produce the best potato crop he can today so he can provide for his own tomorrow. You see, there's a difference there. But there is a desire. This concern that we have, this responsibility that we do have, we need to be recognize that, but beyond that, we want to see others who are being pulled out of the fire, out of our ungodly communities. We want to see them in the church of tomorrow, going about the work of the kingdom. And so how, dear friends, this morning, how are we going to make this happen? Now, is that a dangerous statement or what? How is this going to happen? How are we going to establish the church? Can we say that? How are we going to establish? See, I run into some struggles with this message, and I hope you struggle with me in it, because while I know that we have a responsibility and obligation to look forward to the church of tomorrow, how is it then that we're going to accomplish what we desire, to see a godly church of Christ in the next generation and the next one beyond that? And what role do we really have to play in all of that? Well, do we just say that Christ is going to build his church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it? Yes, we should say that. That is true. I can assure you that God will build his church. But he has chosen to do so on the shoulders of those who he has called out of darkness into his marvelous light. God has chosen to. He has actually, it seems to me, restrained himself to build the church upon men and women like you and I. Question that bears asking is, have you been called out of darkness? Have I been called out of darkness? So really this morning, we are thinking about today's church, and we're thinking about tomorrow's church. Someone said this, you see, tomorrow never really comes. Today was yesterday's tomorrow. That's just an interesting statement. But are we thinking about, this morning what we're thinking about is today's church and tomorrow's church. And so I'd like to identify the word church for just a little bit. What is the church? And we could think of it being the body of Christ, and we could think of it being the bride of Christ. Those are all true and right. There's many aspects to the church, the definition of it, but I'd like to narrow it down just to two this morning for us to think about as we think about the church of tomorrow. I like to think of it in two areas, and these are the two areas. We need to recognize that it is, first of all, an organism. And then secondly, we need to recognize that it is also an organization. We need to recognize, first of all, that it is an organism. Bear with me as I go through this, and then we want to go into five essentials for today. That we want to go through. But here's the thoughts that I have. First of all, an organism is a living thing. It is a living thing. And an organization is a group of people identified by a shared interest or purpose. An organization. Today we must understand that the organization is a servant to the organism. The organization is subservient to the organism. Now, it is true that the organism will and must develop the organization. It is true that the organism will and must develop a healthy, functioning organization to harness the living. To effectively accomplish the work of the kingdom, I do believe, and it's mandated in Scripture, that there is a fellowship of believers that comes together And in that, there is instruction, there's encouragement, there's everything that we experience this morning. We're being blessed this morning by the organization of the church, are we not? It is imperative that we understand this concept. It is imperative that we understand this concept because the organization cannot develop and produce the organism. The living church, the bride of Christ. It's important that we understand this concept because the organization cannot produce the organism. It cannot do it. Is this point really this important? Do we need to go through this morning? I believe it is, because we are thinking about essentials that will establish the church of tomorrow. Establish. I'm not sure if that's the right word. And what is the first thing that natural man is apt to do or think? As we think about tomorrow, what's one of our first reactions? Well, it's so easy for us to say, well, let's put together a better organization. Let's put together a better organization. How can we make our structure better? How can we make it stronger? Could we write up a few more documents? Could we do that? Maybe we need another committee or two. And we so easily and so quickly stress over the pressure that we're facing today. And we wring our hands and say, how can we be less vulnerable? How can we be less vulnerable than we are today? How will the church face tomorrow? And we do ask these questions, and it's right that we do. And sometimes we do get fearful. How will the church face tomorrow when we are struggling so much today? That's how we begin to think so many times. We become fearful. And we begin to think, how could we somehow make this more safe? And I want to say this morning that I think a fear and a concern and a wringing of hands can actually be a God-given concern. I think there is place for us to really wonder sometimes, to really be on our knees about this sometimes, to shed a few tears about this sometimes. I think that is right. I think that it shows within us the greatness of our love for the kingdom of God. Okay, but so many times out of that can translate those things that I just talked about. What can we do? How can we make this organization bigger and better? So that's just who we are by nature. Just to sum up this thought before we move on into a list of essentials for today, I am not opposed to organization at all. We benefit from it in so many ways. And as I said already, we're benefiting from it this morning. We are blessed by it here today. I'm only concerned as we consider this subject of the church of tomorrow that we understand this concept in its proper order. The organization is subservient to the organism. That means it is in a position of secondary importance. The church of tomorrow. So what are some essentials? What are some essentials for today? Those things that are necessary. Today's essentials for tomorrow's church. Those things that are of the highest of importance for achieving something. That's some definitions of essential. Constituting the property or characteristics of something that makes it what it is. What are some essentials? Let's ask the question this way. What are some essentials of the church today that will guide, bless, and nurture tomorrow's church? I like those words better than establish. What are some essentials of the church today that will guide, bless, and nurture tomorrow's church? Parents, this I believe this message, those of us who are in the middle of life, is a critical message and one that we need to be asking ourselves. And we do think about our children. And we wonder about our youth. And we wonder about, how is it that this is all to work out? Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to take 5 points from the book of Ephesians. I went to this book because it just seemed like I'm going to take 5 points out of this book. I plan to pretty much just sort of look across the book. And it seemed to me like it's a message to the church at Ephesus that fits the church of today. It will fit the church of tomorrow. It has blessed the church up through the corridors of time and directed the church. And so I want to look at five essentials. And I find the first one As we think about today's essentials for tomorrow's church, I find the first one in chapter 1, verse. I'm going to read the first, maybe 3 through 7. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace. And my first point, as we think about essentials, is this thought of being redeemed through his blood. Redeemed through his blood. This is, as I said, foundational essentials for today's church. This morning, do we see ourselves as ungodly, sinful wretches declared righteous by the blood of Christ, redeemed through his blood? A little bit ago in the outset of the message, I talked about those who God have called out of darkness into his marvelous light. And this morning, is that you and I? And essential for today's church, that will affect the church of tomorrow, is if the church of today is filled up with those people who have been redeemed by his blood. And that redemption is found in our understanding of our unworthiness, our neediness of a Savior. And in that salvation experience rises the life of obedience and joy in God. And so it is only found. Where is boasting then? Declared righteous by the blood of Christ. Where is boasting then? It is only found in the riches of his grace. Are we experiencing his riches? Look over here in chapter 2, verses 4 through 8 in Ephesians. Wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, maybe you should underline, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Those verses are essentials of you and I today in the church of Christ. And this plays out in so many ways. When we go to sing at Cumberland here in a couple weeks, we don't go there just to perform, but rather we go there to give a testimony of our Redeemer and Savior, if he is our Redeemer and Savior. And so it's an essential of today's church. There will be no church of tomorrow except that it spring out of a faith and acceptance of the grace of God that is given us through the blood of the Lamb without blemish. There will be no church of tomorrow except that it spring out of a faith and acceptance of the grace of God that is given to us through the blood of the Lamb without blemish. Praise God for that. I believe that Paul, in his spiritual understanding and direction of God, understood where he needed to start the book of Ephesians. And it's where we start yet today. It is where the church of Christ is established today. And it's what the church of tomorrow will be built on. Number two, second point I'd like to look at is here also in chapter 3. Let's go there. Verse 16 of Ephesians 3:16. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his what? Spirit in the inner man. I should have had you say all of that. The point that I have, number two point, is his spirit in the inner man. I was in, blessed by that phrase. This isn't just some spirit that's out there, but we see an essential of today's church is that the Spirit of God be within the hearts and in the inner man of who we are, the inner woman of who we are. The Spirit of God would dwell within us. Look at chapter 1, verse 13. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. You see in that verse assurance. You see in that verse a promise that is brought into our hearts. And as the Spirit of God works in our hearts and as it speaks into our lives, it's just another confirmation that I really am one of the sons and daughters of God. And as that takes place in our lives, His Spirit in the inner man. Look at chapter 1, verses 17 through 19. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of the inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ. And it continues on there. So the Spirit of God reveals and opens our eyes and helps us to understand not only what we're facing today, but how it is that God will guide the church of tomorrow and the decisions that we do need to make today. Do our children see parents who are governed by the Spirit of God? Or just being governed by the guardrails of organization? I ask you. You see, tomorrow's church will be built from children who are able to look at parents and see that he was a man of God. Mother was a woman of God. Because I saw that Spirit of God. I saw remember when that happened? Remember what he said? Remember what she said? God help us. I'm preaching to myself, brothers, this morning. The Spirit of God in the inner man, I believe that is such an essential for today, that our children can see that. The church of tomorrow, that our youth, when they walk with us as a brotherhood, understand that there is a Spirit of God that is at work here among us, and it's guiding us. And yes, that Spirit sometimes asks some hard things of the flesh. It does. Essential for today, that's not just for the youth. His assurance. And oh, if we ever needed the Holy Spirit, God-inspired mind of Christ wisdom, today we do. The Holy Spirit, God-inspired mind of Christ wisdom, we need it today. We really do. And how are we to navigate, I ask you, through a fast-paced, ungodly, full of the spirit of this world, society, I ask you. How do we navigate through that? Brothers and sisters, this spirit isn't the one that we get smote with from time to time, but rather this spirit is deep within us. And it reveals to us the great power of God to usward. And the question that we need to be asking ourselves, will the church of tomorrow see the great power of God in the church of today? Will they be able to look back? Will the church of tomorrow that's sitting here with us, do they see that power of God today here? And will they be able to look back 20, 30, 40, 50 years from now and say, do you know what? And able to point to somehow to the power of God and its work in establishing the church today. Let's move on to the third point. And that is rooted and grounded in love. And essential for today. Chapter 3, verse 17 says this. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. And essential for the church today. The church must be rooted. It must be grounded. And we see that being accomplished by the love of God in our hearts. It goes on, that we may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and depth and length and height, and to know the love of God which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do, I'll just let that go there. But it seems to me the key to understanding this God with whom we have to do is being rooted and grounded in love. And it's as we are rooted and grounded in Christ, as Christ has done a work in us, and there is a love that is flowing out of our hearts to Godward, as that takes place, it seems to me that there is a spiritual understanding that's open to us, and we are able to comprehend. Let's look at chapter 4, verse 2. Same thought, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. This love makes this church of today work. Now, is there anyone here who tests your love? I saw a couple hands, and I saw the rest of you nodding your heads. I don't know if you're normal humans or not. Is there anyone here who tests your love? This is telling me that this work of love, the love of God in our hearts, is what enables us to be long-suffering, meek, and able to love our brothers and sisters. Let's go on to chapter 4, verses 15 through 16. It says this, But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole, now follow this closely, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. I don't know if that little phrase ever stood out to me before, but edifying of itself in love. I see this morning the church is actually supposed to be a place where spiritual, social, and mental needs are being met within itself. That's what this verse is telling me. And not only are they being met there, but there is a building up that's being done. There is an edifying of itself in love. That is an essential for the church of today. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. John 13:35. And so I ask, and I think it's a question we need to ask ourselves, is this the church of Calvary, or I'm sorry, that's where I preached this message once. Is this the church of Fourth Avenue today? And I believe I can sense a heart of love here, but I think we need to continue to analyze ourselves and ask ourselves the question, is the church being edified of itself in love this morning? It is an essential of today, rooted and grounded. May I say this yet? If our children and the church of tomorrow that grows up here sees a church that's not perfect, but they see a church that's committed to love, they see a church that's committed to lay down the gossip, they see a church that really does want to show the love of Christ to one another, that is a church that the church of tomorrow wants to be a part of, because it's the church of truth. It's the church of Jesus Christ. Number four, essential for today, is active in ministry. You'll find that in chapter 4, verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of God. Now, that word grace can mean a lot of things, but I'd like to think here that it is actually a grace gift. It is a ability, it is a characteristic that's given to us, or many of those, from God for use in service. You'll notice here also in 11 verses, chapter 4, 11 through 12, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we be henceforth no more children tossed about, and so on. You'll also find it in, we're thinking about ministry there. We're thinking about actually what's being highlighted there is church leadership, church responsibility that's given, and ministering and serving in the church. You'll notice also over here in verse 29 of chapter 4, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Now, if that doesn't fit all of us, I don't know what does. The church, an essential for the church of today is to be active in ministry. We've all been given grace. We all have the ability to communicate. And yes, that doesn't just mean words. Actually, If we're honest with ourselves, when no words are being said, there's also communication that's happening. And I'm thinking of it in the negative way. We are called, all of us, to minister grace unto the hearers. Jesus said, John 7:38, "He that believeth on me, as the scriptures hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." So we see in these verses the great responsibility of those being called out of God. Through the organization of the church, the work of apostles and teachers and pastors and evangelists for the edifying of the body. The work of the ministering, as noticed here in verse 14 of chapter 4, will bring unity. The work of ministering, as we all are involved in this exercise of serving one another, will bring unity, it will bring knowledge, it will bring stability, and it will bring maturity to the church today. Certainly, the church of today needs these qualities, and the church of tomorrow will spring out of this kind of seedbed. When the church of tomorrow sees that the church of today is one where members are active in serving one another, we've maybe got a little weak on this. Life is full. Thank you for the text, brother, last night. Are we serving one another? It doesn't need to be a text message. It can be a phone call. It can be some other love message of serving one another, getting involved. And out of that church of today will spring. It is the kind of seedbed that the church of tomorrow will spring out of. My fifth and final essential that I have, I'm sure there'll be more out of this chapter, out of this book, but you'll notice in chapter 4, verse 17, it says this: "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as the other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their minds." And so my fifth essential for the church of today is that we walk not as other Gentiles walk. We walk not as other Gentiles walk. And that's a sobering statement. I already read verse 17, talking about the Gentiles. Verse 18, "having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work on cleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth." I already read that. "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." The verses in this chapter and those following it in chapter 5 are speaking about applying what we have learned of Christ in all these points we've just come through. Only by the organism of the learned Christ in our hearts can we put off the old man and be renewed. Only by the organism of the learned Christ in our hearts. That's from the Bible. That talks about, "but ye have not so learned Christ." This is an area, as we think about, look at verse 22. Put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. I say to you this morning that I believe this is an area where the organization can and must assist the organism in identifying the deceitful lust of today. I believe that's one of the strengths of a body as we come together. And as we look at where we're at today, as we face the questions of tomorrow, it helps us to identify those lusts which are deceitful. They're by their very nature deceitful, and they can trip us up by ourselves. And that's why there is strength in the body of believers. And may I say also with this, listen closely if you would, because only those who are vain in their minds, as the Gentiles are, reject what the whole body fitly joined together has to offer them. You see, this morning, the organism does really come before the organization. But may I say that even in conversion, even in regeneration, even in the new birth, with it doesn't come all the knowledge of how you should face today. See, I think we need to understand that. We most certainly want to always lift up the new life in Christ. We will never put it down. It always comes first. It always rises above. But when someone is being questioned about their life, don't think that we're just putting organization and some structure above it. We're just recognizing that in the organism, you don't come pre-programmed with all the right answers to life. But we do believe that in the organism will come a heart that can accept the instruction, the correction, the encouragement of the body. Does that make any sense? I don't know if I explained myself clearly enough. Maybe I'm trying to make it complicated. But I guess what I'd like us to understand this morning is I believe that in my own heart, that as I am a child of God, there are times when someone's going to have to come along and tap on my shoulder, address me in some area. And I'm not going to rise up and say, look, I'm a Christian too. But rather, I'm going to understand that one of the primary responsibilities of the work of Christ is to prepare my heart to make it become a part of the body of Christ, to make it become one of His, to make it become one with my brothers and sisters, to make it become humble and meek and to be open. Absolutely, I will certainly know inherently. I will battle on my own. I am required to try the spirits. I am required to run the race and to do battle with the enemy. But I'm also going to recognize that my brothers and sisters may even need to help me in that. And so one of the reasons why it's so important that we understand the preeminence of the new life and the organism is that it prepares our hearts to be able to work together in a body of believers. That's what I was trying to say. Let's never forget that, because that's never really tested until we're asked the question, until we face the challenge, until our toes get stepped on. We want to feel like the organization's coming down on me. Let's analyze our hearts. And let's analyze, is our heart soft and prepared? You see, the reason I bring that up, again, is this point. It says here in verse 17 that the Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened. And this morning, pride plays such a role in this darkness, in the vanity of their minds. Let's continue on here. Oh, the church of today, in my sort of my closing thoughts here, the church of today must rise to the challenge of living out the kingdom mandate of being separated to God. And I've quoted these verses before, but I'll quote them again. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of the mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God, help me to apply that verse to my life tomorrow. 2 Corinthians 6:17, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." What a powerful verse. And essential for today is to walk not as other Gentiles walk. It's an essential of the church of today, out of which will spring, out of that obedience will spring the church of tomorrow. The love of Christ, again, my closing thoughts are these. The love of Christ constrains us. The word of God commands us. The church of tomorrow will be impacted by us. And so let's put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness, as I already just recited. It is an essential for the church of today and the only hope of the kingdom of God in the tomorrows before us. May God bless us with grace today. And may all of us be sobered. May all of us be sobered. May all of us be sobered and yet encouraged and emboldened, because the same way that God is raising up the church of today, the church of Christ today, he most certainly will raise up his church in the future. You see, it's going to be the same way that he's doing it today is the way that he will do it in the future. In closing, may I remind you of this. While it is only wisdom to lift up our heads and look at the future at times, we live in the today. While it is only wisdom to lift up our heads and to look into the future at times, we live in the today. We find grace for today. We fail or win victories today. We show the love of Christ to others today. We're the only Bible some read today. So let's be faithful today. The Hebrew writer said it this way in Hebrews 3:12. "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another," what? Daily. "While it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." God help us. May his church be established today. And by the grace of God, there will be, as long as time remains, a faithful church of Christ for our children and for the generations of tomorrow. Let's kneel for prayer. Our Father in heaven, you are the great God of heaven and earth. You really did create all that we see and so much even beyond that we haven't seen. You've also created this plan of salvation, this church of Christ that we have such a privilege to be a part of. Thank you for the church of today. Thank you for its work across the globe. Thank you for its salt and light that it's bringing to an ever darkening society. Lord, you know what we face today. You know the struggles of today. And Lord, at times they seem to be so great. They seem to be so powerful. And so easily, in the vanity of our minds, we begin to walk. We begin to make the decisions of a Gentile. For that, we ask your forgiveness. And I just pray, O God, that we would be the church that you desire us to be today. It is our desire that our children would be able to, the generations that will come after us, we'll be able to be a part of the bride of Christ, to experience the word of God, to be pure and holy, to be a light, a witness, and a testimony. And we pray for the church of tomorrow. We pray that it would be the means by which you can yet accomplish your great work, and it is a great work. But I pray that you would just help us to live today, to one day at a time, to face the challenges of today, and finally leave tomorrow to your providence, to your provision, and know that your grace will be supplied for even it. Give us wisdom, guide us and direct us, and may you just bless us together here as a body. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.